He's down to his last dollar. And he said in his heart, now he must have had some kind of Christian background before, because he said within his heart, he said to the Lord, I feel like I need to get my fire back. Well, I guess so. Right? And he just happened to turn on the TV. And I don't know that he was intentionally looking for a TV preacher, but he just happened to be clicking the channels. You have to be wary when you're clicking the channels, because God might just get you. And a curly-haired preacher from Houston who has a big television ministry, I bet you can guess his name, he happened to be on the TV, and he looked right in the TV camera at that moment, and he said, some of you need to get your fire back, and Jesus is going to help you get your fire back. Wow, talk about a timely word. Praise the Lord. So he got his fire back, and he decided to take that last dollar. He's down to his last dollar. Well, you know, when you're down to your last dollar, I've heard one minister say, if you're down to your last dollar, don't spend it, sow it. Amen. And he had the good sense. This young man had the good sense to do just that. He took that last dollar, and he decided to tithe it. So he wrote out an envelope, mailing envelope with a stamp on it, and he sent it to that church in Houston, Texas. Now, some people might look on the outside and say, well, they don't need any more money. They got plenty of money there. Big mega church, TV ministry. But he sowed his seed in faith. Well, within about a week, he got a job, a one-day job, that paid him $100. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. That's a hundredfold return. That's a good return on $1 sown. And then things just began to happen from there. He took that $100, and what do you think he did with it? He tithed off of it. Smart man. Took $10 and sent it wherever. It didn't say in the story. But he began to be faithful in the tithe. Say, faithful in the tithe. Hey, we're not perfect in it, but we're faithful in it. Amen. And he began to see God move in his life. Before long, I'll just fast forward to the end of the story. He's a shift foreman for a company. And he got moved out of the house with mom. Praise the Lord. Got a place of his own. Ain't it great? I want to tell you something. Serving Jesus, it's not a quick fix, and it's not a get-rich-quick scheme. But I'm telling you, if you'll be faithful and give the Lord time, it's been my mantra for years. You be faithful and give the Lord time, because it doesn't just always happen overnight. But sometimes the response may surprise you how quick it happens. But your faithfulness and giving God time, you will see the hand of God move. Amen? In fact, we believe around here that it takes a lifetime to actually see God's goodness fully poured out on our life. Amen? So if you're looking for hope this morning, you say, I don't have anything to live for tomorrow, I'm telling you, stick around. God's goodness tomorrow will be better than it was today. Amen? It takes a whole lifetime to absorb how good God is, and He will be faithful. Praise the Lord. Well, you ready to give? Father, we thank you for the chance to give, to sow, not just into this church, but into the world, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to give that which you've given to us and sow it back in generosity and see you pour it out again and again and again. We believe, as the people of God, according to your promise, you open the windows of heaven and pour us out blessing that we cannot contain, so that the nations of the earth call us blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you in your giving today. Hey, a big shout out to the guys that, again, helped set up the Christmas trees yesterday. They came up here on their own time on a Saturday. Brother Benny, Rick, Katie, and Lee. Yeah, he's sitting over here. Appreciate you guys' efforts. If there was any others I missed or overlooked, let me know. But we just thank him for making Christmas come alive this morning for us. Amen. And all the worship team, praise the Lord. Everybody that's hands on deck on Sunday morning. It takes a lot to make church work. Some of you haven't gotten involved in a particular department yet. We'll give you a little more time. But, you know, there's a lot that happens around here to make this, I don't want to call it, it's not a machine, but to make this experience real and make it happen. And we're thankful for everybody that's put their hand to the plow in serving Jesus. Amen? Well, we have a couple of announcements. Tonight, of course, is our Christmas party. The registration is closed. So if you're not already registered, I'm sorry. We'll save you a plate if we have any, but we're going to have a great time. We'll be at the venue on Sealy Street, and just come expecting. It starts at 5 o'clock. The doors will open at 5. We encourage you to come at 5, find your table for your family and your guests, and find a seat, and then just mingle and fellowship, and we'll start dinner at 5:30. Amen. There's no cost to those that are coming, that are registered, praise the Lord. And we're just going to have a great time in Jesus. We love this time of year to celebrate His goodness to us. Amen. It's just a rally point. So we just invite you to come out to dinner. We'll have a great time in the Lord. It's just going to be a wonderful night. Observe, please take a picture if you need to, the service schedule for December. You have the service schedule handy? Yep, service schedule where there's no Wednesday night service coming up this week. The way Christmas fell this year, we decided to not have service next weekend. Sorry for those of you that were expecting one, but this is our call this year. It may change for next year and the coming years, but this year we're giving you Christmas Eve off. We will not have church on that night. We'll also be off Wednesday the 27th. We will, however, New Year's Eve, we'll be ramping up for the new year. Amen? Amen. So come expecting, Amen. And we're just going to have a great day on the 31st. We'll be back in here at 10 a.m. to celebrate what God's going to do and hear from the Holy Spirit what God wants to say to us as we kick off this new year. Are you excited about 2024? It's going to be great. God is going to do some awesome things in our lives. And if you haven't seen the harvest come in yet, I just encourage you to stick around. Amen. Give God a little more time. If the harvest hasn't come in yet, sometimes it means it's just bigger than you expected. Amen. It's just taking the angels a little more time to gather it all in. Amen. So just come expecting 2024. If you haven't seen everything happen in 2023 you'd like, just stick around. It's going to be good. Amen. So I think that's all the announcements for today, right? That's it. That's all we got slide-wise. What else? That's it. Yes, yes. We are going to have a brief children's program at the end of this service today, which means I have to stay on a time clock. So I will, in Jesus' name. Let's pray and we'll get right into the Word of God. Father, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for Jesus, the living Word, who walks with us, who talks with us, who guides us. And right now, Holy Spirit, as you come into the room, as you fill our every being, we thank you that you're giving us ears to hear and eyes to see exactly what you want to say to us, so that we can walk in the fullness of Jesus. And we thank you for empowering us to do so in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it is Christmas time. And I was thinking the other day how that Christmas time for the believer really should be something we experience to a certain degree every day. You think about the positives that happen at this time of year. What's going on this time of year? Well, people are giving more than they usually do, aren't they? A few of you are. Yeah. No, we give gifts to people, right? We open up our hearts in generosity at Christmas time. What else do? We remember people. We reach out to people we haven't seen in a while or people who may be distanced from us. We reach out, we extend our heart and remember people and we connect, we reconnect in some cases, people we haven't talked to in a while. Listen, these are the kind of activities you and I as believers should be a part of and be doing every day. Amen. I'm talking about celebrating Christmas every day for the Christian. We should be in the know on this. What else do? We worship. We worship. Christmas time is a time to stop and from our hearts exalt Jesus. Amen. To adore him who came and gave his all for us. So Christmas is a time for worshiping. You know, I said something last week too. It didn't relate to my message really, but I interjected it. And I said this about men. Men are God's gift as protectors and as warriors to the family. I want to say this too. Women are special too. Didn't mean to leave y'all out. I was going to say this all last week, but I figured now it's time for part two. So, you know, guys are God's gift from a masculine sense, a sense of strength, protection, being the warrior in the home. Amen. But women are unique as well. The Bible says in Titus 2:5, it says they are keepers at home. Keepers at home. You know, the housewife is not a derogatory term. Or a housekeeper, housekeeper might, but a keeper at home is biblical, amen? And women, in a sense, they create the nest. Men go out and pay for the nest, and the wives kind of create it, don't they? They push the sticks around this way and whatever else is on the floor. You know, they get it all shuffled around, and they are the ones, and especially at this time of year, they kind of make Christmas happen, don't they? They're the Christmas makers. And so, men, I want to just encourage you at this season, if you're married, help them out. Give them a hand. I mean, not this kind of hand, but actually, you know, pick up your socks, maybe wash some dishes, whatever it takes to make Christmas happen. Christmas is a big event. And for some of you ladies that are hosting, you guys could just lend a hand. I see the stones coming out. I'm running. I'm out of here. No, it's really important because they make Christmas happen. And it's not right for us to just sit back and watch them make Christmas happen. We could help them. Amen. And that's part of their ministry in the home. Praise the Lord. Christmas is also a time to remember two groups of people. Christmas is a time that we note the shepherds and the wise men. I think that's really interesting that those are the two predominant groups that we think of when we think of that starry night when the announcement was made, you know? The shepherds who were out there in the fields freezing, like we're freezing here this morning. It's kind of, you know, we wanted to give you a shepherd experience. That's why we did. No, I'm just kidding. And then the wise men who came from afar following a star at night. And you know what I love about that those two groups is it tells me this. Christmas is a message for the rich and poor alike. You know, shepherds, that'd be like in today's world, it'd be kind of like probably somebody in waste management. I'm talking about the guys that ride the truck and have to smell all that stuff. Because these guys were around smelly sheep day and night, right? I mean, it was not a glorious job. And, you know, the shepherds kind of represent that lower class in the working world, okay? No shame if you're a shepherd or a garbage man. I'm just using those as analogies. But the wise men, on the other hand, they were contrasted. These guys were like royalty. I've heard it said that when some of the wise men came to Rome, I think it was Caligula would shake in his boots because these guys had the capability to dethrone a king. They were so prophetic and so revered for their insight, they could literally dethrone a king and rise up a new one by their declarations. That's the kind of guys these were. These were power players, okay? And so Jesus comes at Christmas time. He comes to the lowly. And he comes to the great. Amen. And he covers all the bases. Aren't you glad? He can save the rich and the poor alike. Praise the Lord. That's Christmas. Amen. So, you know, on a day like this, some preachers might choose to kind of do a simplified Reader's Digest type message, you know, like, you know, exploring the origin of elves or discussing the possibility of flying reindeer. I'm not here today to just give you a feel-good message, because I believe every day we have church, people come in, they're hurting, they need answers, amen? So even though it's Christmas, I'm not just going to preach candy canes and cider to you, you know, although I like all that stuff. But Christmas is, it's a time for us to lay hold of why Jesus came, amen? And we've been on a three-part series. The first week, December, 17th? 3rd, December 3rd, we taught you Jesus came to destroy Satan's works. Amen. Do you believe it? So everywhere in your life, and when I say your life, I mean your heritage, your mom, your grandma, and same on the paternal side, your grandpa, your dad. You know, the devil's been sowing seeds for generations to try to wreck people's life. That's what he's about. But Jesus comes to undo those works. Amen. And so that's what we talked about on December 3rd. December 10th, last weekend, we talked about Jesus came to give us rest. Aren't you glad? And at this time of year especially, we need to be reminded of that. Jesus comes to give us rest. When you start to feel that anxious thing happening, even if it's for a good cause, to get things ready for Christmas, just stop and tie into his rest. Amen. Tap into the peace that Jesus affords. You don't have to please people. You just tie into the love of God, and he'll set your heart at rest. That's what Jesus came to do. You know, we shared with you last weekend also that when Jesus bowed his head at the cross, he gave us rest. He found his rest, his place of rest there on the cross. That's when he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. That was a symbol of him coming to a place of rest. He found his rest in bringing you and I into rest. Aren't you glad? Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, today I want to talk to you about this. Jesus came. You might write it this way if you're writing notes. Jesus paid our debt. Jesus paid our debt. That's another reason Jesus came. There's a million reasons why Jesus came. But part of the important things are Jesus came to pay our debt. You say, well, I've not been in debt. I've been a pretty good money manager. I'm not just talking about your money debt. Amen. I'm talking about sin debt. Sin debt. All of us had a sin debt when we met Jesus. Amen. I've heard this phrase over and over throughout the holiday season, and I feel like the Holy Spirit was quickening it for today's word. And that is this. Salvation is free, but it's not cheap. What Jesus came to give us is free to us, but it was not cheap at all. Amen. It cost God everything. It cost him the dear begotten son that he had here on earth, Jesus. It cost him his very life. What God offers you and I in salvation was free, but that does not mean cheap. Hey, tonight we're going to serve you a wonderful dinner. It's free to you. It wasn't cheap. And we're happy to do it. We celebrate in doing it. We love doing this Christmas dinner every year. But just because it's something is free in life, especially if it's really good, and tonight's dinner will be really good, just because something's free does not mean it's cheap. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
And Jesus came. He paid a high price to give you what we have and what we call salvation. Parents understand this concept. Parents give it up for their kids. Amen. From infant to even into their adult years. Parents constantly giving it up. We understand this, and someday you kids will grow up and be parents as well, and you'll understand this concept of it ain't cheap. It's free to the kids, but it ain't cheap. It costs mom and dad something, right? Life. It costs us life to give them life. Amen. And so parents understand that fully. I was thinking of that scripture in the Old Testament this week. His love endures forever. And it could have said something like, his love is fluffy and puffy and wonderful and cushy. No, it didn't say that. It said, God, in order to love you and I, has to do what? He has to endure. And that's what love does. God endures in order to love us. Aren't you glad? Yes. He is good. It says the Lord is good and his love endures forever. It cost God something to love us. Yes. He's constantly enduring something. It's our nonsense, our folly, sinful ways, bad thinking, old ruts. God endures a whole lot from you and I in order to love us. But that's what he does. That's what love does. Amen? His love endures. Praise the Lord. Well, our forgiveness at salvation came at a price too high for us to pay. How many of you know that? The Bible teaches that in the parable of the king that forgave the servant. It says he owed him a debt. It was something he could never pay back, but he forgave him the debt, right? Amen. We used to sing an old chorus in the Assembly of God church I grew up in. He paid a debt he did not owe. Yes. I owed a debt I could not pay. Amen. And that's the essence of salvation. Jesus paid for you and I something we could never pay back to God. And that's our sin debt in him. When Jesus found us, sin had reduced us to utter destitution. We were slaves both to sin and to the devil. Don't forget it. Amen. At Christmas time, when we reflect on Jesus, let's don't just see a baby in a manger. Let's see a man on a cross. Yes. Paying the price to set us free, because we had sold ourselves into slavery to sin and to the devil. Amen? Amen? That's what Jesus came to do. We use this word talking about Christianity, this word called redemption. Redemption. Say it with me. Redemption. What is redemption? Redemption means to buy off the auction block. And when Jesus found you and I, we were literally naked slaves, like in the old times. They had hardly a stitch of clothing on their back. And they stood there on the auction block to be bought as cattle, as goods, not to be treated well or with respect at all. And that's the place that Jesus found you and I when he saved us. Amen. And you know what? I want to say this. Jesus bought us off the auction block, but he didn't just buy us. Because as we're standing there before him and we go, you know, I could just see us shaking our head going, no, no, you don't want to buy me. I got nothing to offer you, Jesus. I got nothing. I got no talents. All I got scars, wounds, hurts, a past full of doing wrong. I got nothing. In fact, Jesus, I owe people. There's people that I've done so much wrong to. I'm a debtor to people. Even though I got nothing, I'm up here on the auction block. And Jesus says, come on down. I'm paying for you. I'll pay those debts off too. I'll take care of those. Amen. He says, I'll cover all that. That's how much he loved us. Amen. Jesus bought us along with our scars, our wounds, our folly, our goofiness. And we got a lot of that, don't we, as humanity? The Bible compares us to sheep, and they're pretty goofy if you watch them sometime. They can do some dumb things. They even bite sometimes. Sheep can bite. So, you know, I mean, people can bite you. I mean, they can really, you know, that's just, we're not very lovable, are we? Without Jesus. I'm talking about without Jesus. You should be growing in love, I get it. But I'm just saying, without Jesus, we would be horrible. And yet he comes and he says, I'll buy you. I want you. And let's look at a verse in 1 Peter chapter 1 that describes this idea of redemption. 1 Peter 1. I know, move your hands. It'll help your fingers not feel so numb. Go ahead and turn those pages. 1 Peter 1. We're looking at verse 18 and 19 today. This is our focus for the morning. This is the primary scripture I want to share with you. For you know that it was not with perishable things like silver or gold that you were redeemed. Now, you know, I don't know about you, but silver and gold are pretty precious. I'm not going to tell you how much I do or don't have of it, but I know it's costly. Gold's, what, $1,000 an ounce, whatever it is, or more? Someone could tell me. Probably more. Is it $2,000? No way. Buy gold. No, I'm just kidding. It's gone up since the last time I've heard about it. Oh yeah, it was like a couple years ago. It just seemed like it was $1,200 an ounce. Now it's $2,000. Is that for real? You're not selling me something, are you? Okay. I'm not buying any gold from you anyways, but I'm just checking, Mike. Silver's costly, isn't it? It's no cheap metal either. And it's probably not a bad idea to have a little bit of both in your portfolio. But the Bible says here, it's not those things, gold and silver, which are perishable, by the way. Yeah. We place so much stock in them. But, you know, if you stayed on the earth long enough, that stuff would eventually decay. Now, it might take a long, long time. But the Bible teaches this stuff is subject to decay, even gold and silver. Imagine that. It was not with perishable things like silver and gold that you were redeemed. Say redeemed. Oh, we were bought off the auction block, praise the Lord, from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. That's what bought us. More precious than silver, more costly than gold, the blood of Jesus. My wife was reflecting this last week on some revelation the Lord had given her about the most precious physical material in the universe. It's not any other metal. It's the blood of Jesus.
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Jesus came as humanity. Mm-hmm. Apparently, when the apostles walked the earth, there were lots of weird, deceiving teachings going around that Jesus didn't come in the flesh, that the Son of God only came, I guess, as a spirit. I can't imagine that, but because I just so simply believe it. Jesus came in the flesh. That's what we teach. It's what Christmas time is about, right, Jane? I mean, he came as a baby. He came as humanity. God became flesh. And in that, blood coursed through his veins. But not just any blood. The blood comes from the Father in the birthing process. And the Father was the Heavenly Father. That's where the blood of Jesus came from. But it was real blood. It's not spiritual. It was physical. The most powerful, life-altering, precious substance in the universe and beyond is the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. And that's what God used to pay you off the auction block. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
We should have a praise break right there. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for buying us with your precious, precious blood. We've heard a lot in the news lately about these hostages in Israel that are, you know, just our hearts go out to them to be released and to be set free. I heard in the process of all the discussions that back in 2011, a similar situation had happened where an IDF soldier, an Israeli soldier, was taken hostage. And in the process of time, the government negotiated over 1,000 Arabic prisoners to be released for this one man. Now, that's a pretty high price to pay for one man, whether you think it was a good idea or not. By the way, one of the prisoners they released was the guy that just designed this October 7th massacre. So, you know, I'm not so sure it was a great idea, but they did it. But it's an example of a high price for a soul, for one soul.
Yeah.
You get the picture?
Yes.
I'm telling you, God gave way more than 1,000 prisoners for you.
Amen.
He gave his beloved son, and his son had blood flowing in his veins that was sinless, spotless. And that's what bought you off out of that place of slavery. Amen. Jesus came to pay our debt. What does redeem mean? It means to liberate by payment or ransom. If you're taking notes, write that word ransom down. That's what we're talking about. When you have a hostage, how do we get hostages out? We pay a ransom. Usually it's money, but in some cases, like what's happened in Israel in the last several years, it's people. They trade people for people. But redemption has to do with a ransom that was paid. Interesting, you know, last week I taught about shalom peace, about Jesus. Remember, I ended the service with the Vulcan salute from Mr. Spock. Where did Leonard Nimoy of the original, the only Star Trek, the original Star Trek, where did he get the design for the Vulcan hand salute? It came from the high priest in the Hebrew times when they would stand up and give the high priest blessing and say, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace." And this W-shaped hand salute actually came from the Hebrew world. It was a picture of the letter shin. Say shin. Not like your shin, but it's pronounced that way. But shin in the Hebrew language, that's why we have words like shalom. It's why we have words like El Shaddai. Shaddai starts with the letter shin. And so when the high priest blessed God's people with this shin hand salute, if you will, he was saying, in effect, have peace. And that peace will be secured by El Shaddai, God Almighty, the warrior God. Amen. The God who has plenty of angel armies to enforce peace. Amen. Because we talked about peace has to be enforced with strength. Well, if you look at the word shalom, which the Israelis use today, that's how they greet one another. They don't just say howdy. which is just kind of a hello, but they actually bless one another every time they greet each other. When they say shalom, they use that for hello and goodbye. Shalom, 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 shalom. And every time they say it, they're in a sense saying, may God complete you. May God give you not just peace, not just a calmness, but a wholeness. Say wholeness. And actually that word shalom, when you look at the root, you know, because you can look at the etymology in the Blue Letter Bible and you can look at it, if it'll say it came from such and such word, and you click on that, it'll take you to another trail. It's like anything on the internet. One thing takes you to another. If you look at the word shalom and look and see where it takes you, it comes from the word shalom. Say shalom.
Shalom.
And shalom actually communicates this. Paid. Paid. It means to make an end of something. You're paid. It's paid. And so the word shalom, paid, is where we get the word shalom. And the idea there is communicated as saying, may God finish and complete everything that's necessary for your wholeness. May he pay for it in a sense. Amen. So when we say shalom, we're including this idea of paid. Isn't it interesting in John chapter 20, when Jesus appeared to the disciples, in verse 19 it says, he told them, peace be unto you. Remember that? John 20:19. He said, peace be unto you. And then in the next verse, John 20:20, it says what? It says, he showed them his hands and his side. What was he doing? He was showing them the receipt. Where does peace come from? Payment. My hands, my side, paid for your peace. Amen? Jesus came and he paid the price for our peace. Say this with me. Jesus paid for my peace. Hey, if Jesus paid for it, don't let anything in life steal it. Nothing. Because he paid a high price. What was the price? His hands and his side.
Amen.
Everything he gave at the cross paid for our peace. Amen. And he completed the payment. Peace is the result of payment. So I just want to declare to you today, peace.
Amen.
I want to declare to you today, your payment is made.
Amen.
You say, well, you don't know what I've done, Pastor. You don't know where I'm at right now in life. I've just got this habit and I've got this addiction. And I've got this, you know, I'm so terrible with money. If you knew how much debt I am, you probably wouldn't let me in the doors. It doesn't matter. Jesus came and paid your costs.
That's right.
He paid your debt. Through his precious blood, through his hands, through his wounded side. He paid for you to come off the auction block and enjoy his peace. You get to go free. You know, we as Christians probably are harder on ourselves than lost people. The Bible makes it clear when they sin, they got no sense of responsibility because they don't believe in God. But you know, when you believe and you know what's right and you still step across that line, It sometimes it's easier to be harder on yourself than as a Christian, because in a sense you know better, right?
Yeah.
And you know, if in our conscience we don't take that sin to the blood, if we don't lay it at the altar of the cross, something within our body will eventually scream, payment has to be made. Medical science has shown this. If people carry a guilty conscience, if they carry the weight of some action that they've done that's horrendous, if they carry that physically without confessing it or getting it off their chest, their body will actually begin to, in a sense, the cells of the body will scream, this man's guilty. He deserves to die. And many times people who are struggling with physical ailments, what really needs to happen first, before you give them a shot or a drug, you need to help them get something off their chest. Amen. Get the sin consciousness off their mind. Why? Because their body is screaming, payment has to be made. And we have to forgive ourselves. We have to see the one who comes through the wall and tells us, first of all, peace. Shalom.
Amen.
And then beyond that, what's beyond just the peace? The fact that he paid the price for your debt to be covered. Don't care what you've done. It's paid for. If you're in an addiction right now and you think, well, I continue to do this, it's paid for. And the realization of that payment, that blood price that was paid for you, will break the power of addiction in your life. I know no other power. I know there's 12-step programs, this and you know, accountability groups that can help bring people in, maybe work together. I understand that. But ultimately, the power that will free us is the blood of Jesus. There is nothing else. But his payment is clear and it is made for us. Amen?
Amen.
Our health hinges on this. Well, praise the Lord. I want to end with the lyrics of Chris Tomlin's song where he took the old hymn, Amazing Grace.
Yeah.
My chains are free. Listen to this, the words of this chorus. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. Amen. Folks, this is the message of Christmas.
That's right.
You and I don't deserve it.
Yes.
For sure. But the price has been paid. Yes. That's His love. Receive His love today in your life. Yes. Amen. Don't let Christmas just flash by us without you. As a believer, the Bible says, if when we were enemies, God loved us, how much more?
Yes.
Say, how much more? Oh, how much more? Now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Jesus showed His hands. He showed His side. He said, it's paid. Here's the receipt. Take my peace. Stand together with me. Come on, let's take our debts to the Lord right now in prayer. Father, we thank You in Jesus' name that the blood has been shed, the price has been paid, and even though we're saved, those that are in here that know Jesus, we know that our sins are forgiven, but Lord, I'm just calling for up-to-the-minute redemption right now in our life. Up to the minute. Every debt, Lord, people we owe, situations in life that we owe. I decree today by the blood of Jesus, the debt is canceled. It's paid for by Your blood. Because when You bought us, You bought every obligation of our life. And everything the enemy has sown to put a weight of debt upon us, to say that we owe a situation, or we owe a circumstance, or we owe certain scenarios, some sort of futile human effort. Lord, I thank You that You break that power in our life. We're free of addiction by the blood of Jesus. We're free of vicious cycles in the name of Jesus and by His blood. For You bring us Your peace. And we receive it. We open our hearts to it today in Jesus' name. If you're here real quick while our heads are bowed before the children do their little thing today. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I want to pray a prayer to give you the opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Would you all pray this prayer with me? Dear God,
thank You for sending Jesus
to pay for my sin.
I confess,
Lord,
I
am a sinner. I need Your forgiveness. Come in and wash my heart, Jesus. Cleanse me of all sin and make me Your child today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You can be seated.